those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Morning, Sovereign Minds. Today is Sunday, May 18th, 2014, and I am Mark E. Kent, and I am your host. That's Mark, and the middle E is an initial, not my name, just initial. Not telling anybody what it means.
Not Marky Mark?
No. So anyway, it doesn't mean nothing. That's right. I am your host, and like I say again, today is May 18th, and our guest today is going to be Trevor Loudon, and he is the author of The Enemies Within, so we got some interesting things to talk about here. Let's get a little bit of the housekeeping out of the way. We're here in the studio with my sister, Lindia.
Good morning.
Linda.
Yeah, it's Linda.
Everybody calls her Lindia, so I might as well join in. It's Linda.
Okay, Marky.
And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Marky and Lindy.
Oh, boy. I hope we didn't get a trend going there.
Might have.
We are streaming.
Just wait.
We also have Frank in the studio today, too.
Yeah. He's becoming our mascot on Sunday mornings. Yeah, we love having him.
Yeah, he's a fixture over there. So, we are streaming worldwide. There's KCNR1460.com. You can go there and go to the chat room, or you can call in at 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Mark E. Kent. I got about 300 slots left before I'm up to the 5,000 limit. And then we'll have to start going for Sovereign Mind Radio, which I have the website set up.
Cut you off.
The quote of the day, life is only as good as you decide to make it. So stand up, be bold, and don't let everyone else define it.
Ah, there you go.
Very good.
Said that?
I don't know. It was anonymous.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a good one, though.
Yeah.
So, with that.
With that, I think we may need to go to our guest.
Let's go
right to Trevor. Are you on the line, Trevor?
I am. How are you guys?
We're doing great. You?
How's good? How's the great state of Jefferson today?
Hey, you know.
We're working it, and it's doing good.
Growing daily. Yeah, we had you at the tea party, and we just loved you, so we wanted to get you on the radio here. But, you know, maybe you could give us a little of your background, because you got a funny accent there. I'm not sure that that's – I don't think
that's – a real southern accent.
That's a real southern accent. I'm not sure if it's Alabama or Mississippi. Maybe Texas, but no. So you're from New Zealand.
I'm from New Zealand, right across the Pacific, and – I'm a blogger, researcher, political activist, and I've been touring the United States for the last 3 years promoting my two books. And basically, I'm the guy. What I do is investigate the radicals, the hard left. I was the guy who made the first connection between Obama and the Hawaiian communist Frank Marshall Davis, for instance, and also exposed Obama's green job czar, Van Jones, who subsequently had to leave the White House.
Oh.
So that's sort of what I do. I investigate the far left and their connections to the mainstream political movements.
How do they
manipulate them.
Why, Trevor? I mean, you're a Kiwi, as they say, and you're down under there, and, you know, we're pretty far away. Why are you interested in helping America or exposing these people? What's your motivation?
Well, look, there's an element of self-preservation in it. Because, you know, we have the Chinese knocking on our doorstep now. You know, they're in Fiji, they're in Tonga, they're infiltrating our country, they're building up a big Pacific Blue Water Navy, and America is retrenching militarily. America is on the way to becoming a second-rate power. So basically what I say is if America goes down, the entire Western world goes down.
Wow.
You know, the bad guys are getting stronger. The Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians and all their friends around the world in Cuba and Venezuela and Nicaragua, etc., North Korea, radical Islam, they're all on the march, and America is in retreat, and that leaves every free Western country in peril.
Wow.
You know, we're in major trouble if you guys go under.
Yeah, that's not good, and you know, we're not planning on going under anytime soon if we can help.
Well,
it.
There's some of us that don't want to go under.
No. And look, America's just is the leader of the free world, and just as your guys, your uncles and fathers and grandfathers went to Europe and the Pacific to fight for freedom in World War II, because that's where the front line was. Now the front line is America.
Yeah.
You know, how America goes, the Western world goes.
Well, this is a very serious thing. I mean, and it's becoming quite apparent to anybody who's actually watching anything or listening to anything but MSNBC that you know, we have a Marxist in the White House, and
yep.
it's just plain
it's very
us. Those,
scary.
Yeah, very
it's
scary.
Very scary for us.
So you know,
yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, just what I argue in my latest book, it's not just Obama. The entire Democratic Party at the senior levels has been taken over by the hard left. You know, and that really compounded after 1995, because that was the year that Democratic Socialists of America, your largest Marxist group, about 7,000 members, that's when they took over the AFL-CIO. And when you take over the unions in America, if the communists take over the unions, they effectively get control of the Democratic Party. Mm. And you should know that in California more than anyone, because your California state legislature, you know, at the Senate and the Assembly level, is totally dominated by Marxists.
Well, now
they
when you
been
say
put in there by the unions.
When you say unions, we're talking about public employee unions, not just
well, yeah, largely them, but also SEIU, which is your largest private sector union.
Oh.
You know, SEIU is totally communist controlled. The whole. You know, the California AFL-CIO is led by Maria Elena Durazzo, who is a hardcore Marxist, always has been. And that's why she has been the one who's led, basically turned California blue by promoting massive Latino voter registration drives and get-out-the-vote efforts that have turned even some of your most conservative counties Democrat. And that was a deliberate program.
Hmm.
So California is a really petri dish for the rest of the nation.
Well, and do you think all of those guys are legitimate voters?
But California was turned blue on the program of illegal immigration, deliberately fostered by the hard left, and now they're trying to do the same to Texas and the rest of the country. And if they do that, if they can turn Texas blue through legalizing illegal immigrant votes, they have a permanent governing majority forever. Because if you add the Electoral College votes from Texas, your second most popular state, to the Electoral College votes of California, which the Marxists have already got through illegal immigration,
then
the Republicans can never, ever win another presidential election. They can't do it.
You know, what's the big problem with communism anyway? I mean, it's being taught in the schools.
Yeah.
It's all good for us. It's sharing and, you know, caring about your neighbors. And, you know, why is there such a problem?
I get my free cell phone.
Why is there such a problem with communism, Trevor? Why do you think that's such a big deal?
Well, if you don't want to go abroad to experience it in China or Cambodia or Vietnam or all those wonderful places, just go to Detroit.
Hmm.
Go to downtown Detroit.
Good point.
And spend a couple of days there, and that is American communism. Detroit was destroyed by Coleman Young, a Communist Party member who was the mayor of Detroit. He had a whole bunch of city council members, Marion Mahaffey and Jackie Vaughan, who were all Marxists. They destroyed one of the most vibrant city in the United States and turned it into a little Bosnia.
So when you say destroyed, what do you mean by destroyed? I mean, obviously they wrecked
it. Well, you look at parts of it, it looks like it has been attacked by bombing. You know, it's derelict, burned out. You know, so basically what they did, their crony capitalism, their corruption, their overtaxation and regulation destroyed the economy of that city. And it's a blighted city now. It was 2 million people there, now there's 900,000. You know, people who can't get out, basically. And they have turned once the most vibrant city in the United States into a derelict hellhole. And that was communism. That was American communism that did that. And that is the model. The parts of California aren't far behind that. And that's the model of Obama's America. Detroit is where he wants to take the entire nation.
Well, if you want to pick up some cheap real estate, I hear it's a good place to go. I heard you can buy a house for $1.
And do you know who they're inviting in?
The Chinese.
They want the Chinese to move in there.
Yeah, so that's what I heard.
They have the Chinese, and that will bring all the crime, all the corruption, the Chinese Communist Party, the People's Liberation Army, together with, you know, they'll have spies everywhere. That's like inviting a Nazi German settlement into Michigan in 1938, basically.
Okay, Trevor, yeah, unfortunately, we have to go to a break right now. And then when we come back, let's talk more about Detroit. You know, people seem to think that things like that can't happen in this country. And you mentioned that even cities in California are starting to happen with. So let's pick up on that. This is KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
When the snow's always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Hi, folks. Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. We want to extend an invitation to join us for a very special event, a Salute to the Veterans cruise to the British Isles. You're invited to join Linda and I for this very special cruise.
August 15th, 2014, with a special emphasis for veterans, family, and friends who join us.
With a special tour of Normandy beaches and the landing spots for D-Day, the military tattoo in Edinburgh, and a special visit over to Ireland.
Hi, this is Alice at Avanti Travel. My husband Bob and I will be on the cruise too. We're so excited and anxious for you to join us. We'll have special events on the cruise like cocktail parties, group photos, military history presentations, and much, much more. So call Avanti Travel at 244-1400 for more information. All our gals are just waiting to hear from you. This is a very special cruise where we honor our veterans. Everyone is invited. So give us a call right away.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Well, I done you and you don't even feel it. I got an agenda, but I gotta conceal it. The media's got my back. They'll cover my tracks. Before the clock rolls all out, I'll be using every crisis. Nothing's gonna stop because you don't pay attention. I'm wrecking everything I can. Now that I am the man, and well, your butt is mine. I got the votes, you can't do jack, you're mine. Oh, yeah, baby.
open up your wallet and give to me. Sure, you're unemployed, but damn, you're free. Looking for the cause, you'll find the gov.
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio.
You know, it's kind of funny, but at the same time, it's not. It's a very truthful song going on there.
If that doesn't tick you off, you're probably not an American. Yeah. Anyway, we're here with Trevor Loudon, and we're talking about Detroit and crony capitalism. And I'd like to get a definition of this crony capitalism, because people say, oh, that's capitalism. We've had capitalism. My position has been, we haven't had capitalism since 1913 because, you know, it's all been about the money printing and all that, and creating this cronyism that, you know, just absolutely seethes out of Washington, and they pay off all their friends and so forth. So can you go into that a little more?
Yeah, the other word for crony capitalism is fascism, you know, and it's a more accurate term, you know. The American system was built on decentralized power. You had decentralized businesses, small businesses who could rise and fall on their own merits. You had small social organizations. And the government was small, so nobody could get leverage over other groups. But with the growth of the Federal Reserve and the growth of government power, businesses figured out that they could get ahead, not by competing on an open market, but by buying favor with politicians and cutting out their competition. So this has been the American model for a long time, you know, and in a lot of places. And it's a model in Russia, it's a model in China, it's a model in all the thugocracies. You know, and it works very well with socialism and communism. They tend to work very closely together. So the current American model of crony capitalism is really a fascist form of government, a fascist form of organizing society. And the middle class gets screwed, you know, because a real capitalism, a real free enterprise system is one where every business competes on its own merits. No government favors, no government handouts, no government subsidies. You rise or fall on the merits and the services you deliver to your community and your customers. So, you know, it's no surprise that a lot of big business is very happy with the Democrats, is very happy with Obama, because it's opened up all sorts of opportunities for them to buy special deals and favors and screw their smaller competition. So, you know, crony capitalism, socialism, all work very closely together, all a fascist form of social organization, and just not the American way at all.
No, it's not. And like you say, with Detroit, what's happening there. And then you mentioned something about it's even starting to happen in California. And I was curious, what areas were you referring to when you brought that up?
Well, what was the city that went bankrupt recently? Was it San Jose or...
We've actually had four or five of them. We've Stockton, Vallejo, San Jose, I think, is getting ready to go bankrupt. We've got Bakersfield in trouble. There's been quite a few of them, actually.
Well, you know, look, when I travel around the country, like, everybody I speak to loves California. They love the climate. They love the people. They love everything you have to offer.
Except but the government.
Your government and the out-of-control bureaucracy and the insane political correctness is driving people out of your state. And you know that. You know, businesses are leaving California. The economy is in trouble. You have massive deficits. And that can only end in one way. You know, that's Argentina. Yep. You know, that's massive unemployment. That's massive public massive debt, bankruptcy,
hyperinflation.
All these people who invest, you know, these people who invest their pensions in their government employment are going to get screwed.
Yep.
They're not going to get their pensions.
I've been saying it all along, because it's a pattern that happens over and over and over. They start raiding all of these people's money. I mean, it's like Social Security, you name it. Everything's got IOUs on it, and there's going to be a big reckoning here for people.
Yeah, there's going to be, like, every business that gets out of control eventually comes to a crash. And the same with public financing. You know, you have federal bailouts, you have you know, you can raise taxes and all that kind of thing, but raising taxes just drives business out of the state, which actually cuts your revenues. So California is heading, you know, heading in the direction of Detroit in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I was just...
And,
go ahead.
You know, and you're not the only state by any means, but those out-of-control public unions, the police unions and the firefighters unions and the government employees unions, are really what's pushing it over the edge.
Yeah,
and California's got that in spades.
I wanted to bring this up, that you're talking about big businesses or small businesses. Actually, I went to Home Depot yesterday and made some purchase of lumber. Now in California, they have a tax, or a charge, I should say, for a handling of lumber that is on your receipt now. You believe that? So in order for you to get your lumber, you have to pay this fee to the big box store or even a small box. So it's a fee that people aren't even aware of, and it's not that much, but when does it stop?
Yeah, well, the thing, you know, California used to be one of the freest states, you know, 30, 40 years ago. But basically, with the growth of the public sector unions, your California state legislature has got more Marxists in it than probably any other legislature except for Massachusetts and Michigan and possibly New York.
Good reason for the state of Jefferson.
And they just love spending money. They love their social programs. They hate capitalism. They hate free enterprise. And they love controlling things.
It's funny.
So elections have consequences, you know?
It's funny you mentioned New York. You know, has everybody, I'm sure everybody out there that watches TV at all, has seen these commercials with New York. Oh, we're so business friendly now, and you can come on, and we're going to give you special tax breaks for like 10 years. And all this stuff. Well, this morning on the internet, it came out that Remington is leaving New York.
Yeah. Look, you got Bill de Blasio running New York now. Now, the worst period in New York's recent history was the early 90s. That was when sleaze was at its height, when tourists were afraid to go there, when crime was rampant, when everything was bad in New York. That was when David Dinkins was the mayor. David Dinkins was a card-carrying member of Democratic Socialists of America, a Marxist group. He stacked his administration full of Marxists. And they ran that city into the ground. And every New Yorker suffered because of it. Now, you've got Bill de Blasio, who used to work for David Dinkins, who's going to do exactly the same thing. He's going to drive business away. He's going to stop the New York City police policing terrorism and crime. He's going to turn the city back to the bad old days of David Dinkins. And every New Yorker is going to suffer from it. And they voted for him, 70% or 75% or something.
Well,
They have no idea of what they've done.
Well, they give them the big unicorns and rainbows and lollipops speeches, promising everybody's going to have a cell phone and life is going to be good and we're all going to be unemployed and everybody have a job, except they tax the companies until they want to leave, like Remington, and there are no jobs.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Well, Nikita Khrushchev was saying in 1960 that in the Soviet Union they were going to have utopia by 1980.
Wow!
They were going to have utopia in 20 years. That's what Khrushchev was saying in the 1960s. Gee, surprise! It didn't happen.
Well, there is utopia in the Kremlin. Everybody else is suffering, and everybody else is a slave. Yeah. But it's a good deal down at the Kremlin.
Exactly. You know. And if you're part of that little crowd, you're doing fine. But, you know, it's the middle class and the lower middle class that get screwed in all this, you know.
Yep.
That's the backbone of America. And the backbone of America is the middle class.
Yep.
That's where all the that's where all the common sense is. That's where all the enterprise is.
How we get several names here. I mean, we've got socialists, we've got communists, and then we got progressives. And are these guys all the same people? Is it just they change the names to protect the guilty, or is it different groups?
Well, they certainly overlap. Like every communist is a progressive, but not every progressive is a communist. You know, like you have in America, you have several communist groups, you know, the Communist Party USA, Committees of Correspondence, Workers World Party, Democratic Socialists of America. They are Marxist communist groups. And they essentially control the unions now, and they control the Democratic Party. And then you have the layer of socialists who are not quite as committed to the violence and chaos as their communist friends. And then you have the progressives. And the word progressive just basically means someone who believes in progressing towards socialism and communism. They may not be a party member. They may not subscribe to all the, you know, the party platform, and they may not believe in violence, but they're heading towards socialism and communism.
Well, you say committed to violence, and we just kind of tracked right over the top of that. What do you mean by committed to violence? And I think we got to go to a break here, Trevor, but let's talk about that a little bit when we come back.
All right, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cashless. Well, unemployment's rising. It's ticked up once again. It stands at 9.8%, and soon it will be 10. And we're in Obama's prison. We're underneath his curse. And he ain't doing nothing but making things far worse. Jobs are disappearing. Obama, he don't mind. He'd rather ruin health care and leave us in a bind. Yes, we're in Obama's prison, where socialism rules. And the government is run by a bunch of liberal fools.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Johnny.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew. Guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny. My wife Judy and I want to say thank you. Thank you for blessing us with such wonderful friends and business. We love being a part of such a great community here in Shasta County. Every day the people we meet and the chance we have to help each and every one of you makes us proud. We look forward to being there when you need us. Wind or rain, sun or shade. Shasta Gas Propane, family owned, family operated. For safety, service, and savings, give us a call at 365-3793. And once again, thank you.
At Second Amendment, Inc., we agree with Thomas Jefferson, who said, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." Show your patriotic support for our right to keep and bear arms by wearing apparel made only in America. Second Amendment, Inc. merchandise is available at Bastiani Arms on Larkspur Lane, Signstation Sign Shop on Alfreda Way, right across from Lowe's, or online at SecondAmendmentInc.com. That's SecondAmendmentInc.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Military setting and the troops don't know the messiah they're getting. I'm the creme de la creme of the media's world on a tour with everyone but Dan Rather. Time flies, doesn't seem a minute since the Illinois Senate had Barry in it. Our troops cleaned up side of city? I'd say thanks, but they only get my pity. Whether it's Jordan or Afghanistan, or Kuwait, or where are we?
One night in Baghdad and Barack's our savior. The surge is working, Barry just don't care. You'll find a gap for every golden soundbite. And if you're lucky, in your eyes he'll glance. I can feel a tingle rotting off my pants.
You can't help but laugh at that stuff. I love that those parodies. They're funny. Not quite so much, but let's go back to the violence, Trevor. Let's talk about that, because you kind of glossed over that as far as, you know, communists aren't violent, are they? I mean, they're just regular guys that want to run the show, right?
Well, they're not violent until they have to be. You look at Leland Yee, your California state senator, who recently arrested for gun running. You know, a big anti-gun advocate arrested for gun running.
Seems very principled man.
Well, they are. the left is not against guns or violence. They're against you having guns.
Right.
Yeah, not them.
They want the guns so they can control you. Then they'll have, when they control your earth, they'll have all the guns they want. Every socialist regime, every communist regime around the history has used violence to suppress the people. Once they've got the power, they are as violent and as thuggish as anybody you can imagine. But until they get that power, they want to take the guns away and the means of protection away from every citizen. The same as Hitler did, you know, in World War II, you know, before World War II, the first thing he did when he got into power was confiscated the guns from the German people.
Right, and it was all about protecting the children. We got, you know, we don't want to have any violence, and we need to protect the children, and, you know, until they get all the guns, and then all of a sudden it's okay, now shut up and get back to work and do what you're told.
Or else.
Exactly. So communists love violence, but they will only use it when they're in a safe position, when they can win. But believe me, they are as pro-gun as anybody. And so you look at organizations like the Workers' World Party, which is very active in California and active in many cities across the states. They are very prone to violence, you know, and street violence, thuggery, etc. So the left, you know, the left has no argument. The left has no cogent argument to win people over. So if people don't go along with what they say, violence is their only recourse. You know, they can't win by sweet reason.
And when propaganda
doesn't work anymore, violence is the only way out.
Well, you tell the lie until you can't, the old thing with Hitler was keep telling the biggest lie you possibly can until anybody can disprove it. You know, if you can't disprove it, then it's true.
Yeah. Tell it over and over and over again, you know.
That's
how the left works. Their arguments are... Their arguments are rubbish, but they just repeat them over and over again. They lie, they obscure. So, look, I don't, you know, these Marxist group in the country are violent. They're potentially violent. They are actively violent when they can get away with it. And that's how they intend to rule America if they ever get in the position to do so. And they're not very far away from that.
Yeah, no, they're not.
We've been in recovery now for 5 years. I must have heard the term recovery a million times now. I do financial stuff for a living, and I just keep hearing, every time I hear that word recovery, I cringe. I mean, talk about the biggest lie in the world. Holy moly.
Well, you know, we laugh at the old Soviet Union in the 1930s when they used to lie about statistics, how many cabbages were produced or how many tractors or how many oil wells or whatever. And it was just a lying society because everybody had to perform to the government quota, which were all impossible. So they just lied and lied and lied. And that's exactly what's happening in your country today. They cannot point to any real recovery, so they just don't count several million people whose unemployment has expired, and use statistics to create a false impression.
Yeah, it's actually went down. We're at 6.3% now.
Yeah, sure we are.
You got to be a moron to believe that.
Yeah, that's why there's more people out on the street corners holding up signs and begging these days. You know.
Do you know anything Do you know anything about the FEMA through the FCC putting in station controls on the media as far as the radio and the TV? We just got somebody came in and gave us a little tip here and said that they've got all these things in place and all they got to do is push the buttons, and all of a sudden there's no free press or free exchange of ideas on the radio or the TV anymore. You know anything about that?
Yeah, I don't know specifically, no. I do know that the government is preparing in all sorts of ways for economic unrest, because they know that all it would take, you know, all it would take is for a couple of banks to fail, or the dollar to no longer be the reserve currency, which the Russians and Chinese are trying to do now.
That's almost done.
Interest rates will then go through the roof. The economy will crash, and you'll have unemployed everywhere. So they need to be able to deal with that situation.
Right.
And
yeah.
You're going to have a lot of very unhappy people with nothing to do except vent their anger at the government. So they're getting ready for that. They know that's coming.
Well, and you know, the thing is, the people are not going to believe it till it happens, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right. They still think everything's... It's like sitting on the Titanic, you know. They were still playing music on the Titanic as the water were flooding into the hold.
And we got the politicians running around rearranging the deck chairs.
Yeah, basically that's a very good analogy. And so, you know, the American economy is in huge trouble. The American, you know, government's in huge trouble. But Americans have lived in the freest, most benevolent society in the world for decades, and it's very hard for most of them to imagine how things could ever be any different.
Yeah, it's a good point. But I don't know. I think the tide's turning. There's enough of us out there yelling at the top of our lungs. I mean, looking at the polls, that seem to be, you know, obviously they can skew any of them. But there's some polls that are saying that the tide is turning. So how does this?
Absolutely.
How does this all play into foreign policy and national security with regards to the World Peace Council and Socialist International and Council for a Living World? I mean, how does this all relate to this? And when we've got the Muslims going on, I mean, is this all one big, I mean, cluster or what?
Yeah, well, look, the thing is, most Americans think of Russia over there, China over there, Iran over there, radical Islam over there, North Korea over there, as they're all separate threats. But and in reality, they're all cooperating. They're all working together. They're all networked. And the number one target is the United States. And the number one target has been for decades of the American left has been to destroy the United States military. And Obama has done more to destroy your military than any army could ever contemplate.
Well, look at the VA. So, look at the VA scandals right now. If he's not trying to demoralize them, I mean, this guy is just a plague.
Yeah, look, the morale in the American military is as bad as it's ever been. Weapon systems have been cut all over the place. Veterans have been treated like dirt. And so this is destroying morale. Now, this morale is so important when you need to fight a war. So you've got Russia, which is getting more belligerent, is working to take over the Ukraine, then they're going to work to dominate Europe. You've got China building a big blue water navy, dominating Asia. You've got moving into the Pacific. Now, they're already in Fiji and Tonga, which is very close to my country. You've got Iran getting more belligerent in the Middle East. China controls most of Africa. The communists control most of South America and Latin America. And your European allies are basically neutralized. So the bad guys are getting into a position where they can take you down. And if Obama continues to gut the military, like Obama wants to cut your nuclear arsenal to 265 nuclear weapons, when the Russians alone have more than 6,000 that we know about. So if Obama succeeded in doing that, do you think the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians would sit on their hands while you slowly rebuilt your military?
No.
When they had you where they want you? So this is not about a depression or losing some of your rights. This is about the physical survival of your country. Because your enemies are combining against you and your allies are deserting you.
Wow, you know, that's
scary.
You look what happened when Obama called for support to go into Syria. You know?
Yeah.
How many allies were lining up to help?
Right.
One country.
Yeah.
You know, you look at your allies are looking at you right now. They saw Obama abandon Georgia to the Russians. They saw Obama take away the nuclear shield protecting Czechoslovakia and Poland. They see him sabotaging Israel on a daily basis. They see him diss Britain. They see the Ukraine. You know, the United States has a binding treaty to protect the Ukraine in the event of Russian aggression. A binding treaty. And all Obama is doing is sending out John Kerry. You know, what's Kerry going to do? Threaten to cut off Russia's ketchup supplies. You know?
So I saw
a great sign, which was really tragic, actually. A protester in Moscow, a pro-Russian protester, had a big sign, and the message was, "Your pawn is harder than your sanctions."
Boy.
What does that say? What does that say?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I guess with that, we're going to go to a break. And then when we come back, maybe you can give the listeners some solutions or different things that they might be able to do.
I want to talk about the race and the caucuses and then go into solutions.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And this is KCNR, 1460, home of the community radio for the North State.
Halloween at the Obama household.
Trick or treat.
Hey, how are you kids doing? I guess you want some candy.
Yeah.
But first, I think you'll agree, we need some fundamental fairness in candy distribution.
What?
We need to spread the candy around so that it's fair for everyone.
Okay.
See, it works like this. First, I'll take all of your candy and put it into my bag. And now you're a pirate, just like the people on Wall Street, who represent nothing but corporate greed. And you're a princess, and princesses are rich, right?
Right.
And rich folks got that way by oppressing others.
Huh?
So out of this whole bag of candy, I think both of you deserve 2 pieces each.
But that's not fair.
We've been walking around for hours.
Now, I never said there wouldn't be sacrifices. And don't you want to share your candy with the hobos and the clowns?
No.
No.
Why do you get to keep all our candy?
Because I represent the government. And I like Milk Duds.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're usually too busy taking care of our patients to boast about our accomplishments. But when you're the only hospital in the North State ranked as a 100 top hospital in the nation 2 years in a row, and your emergency department is the only one in the region recognized as the certified chest pain center, well, it was hard to keep our pride from showing. Shasta Regional Medical Center. You don't have to be the biggest to be the best.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way they do it. They push the healthcare on the NBC. All this ain't working. That's the way they do it. Money for nothing. Spread the wealth to me. Now this ain't working. That's the way they do it. Let me tell you. Guys ain't dumb, they make you all dependent on their government programs. Maybe then they'll loan you when they're done. We gotta watch American Idol, wait for Amazon deliveries. We gotta check our Facebook status. We gotta watch reality TV. That crazy lady with the gavel and the face. Buddy, you're really getting dissed. That crazy lady got her own jet airplane. That crazy lady, she's a socialist.
They couldn't be talking about Nancy now, could they?
No. No, she's not a crazy lady. I think
she's not a communist either, right?
I think she's got something wrong with her, seriously. I mean, I think you look at her every day, she's declining. I think she's got Alzheimer's or something.
Shucks.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
Well, yeah, crazy communist socialist with Alzheimer in control of something. Not good.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here with Trevor Loudon again, and he's the author of The Enemies Within, and I guess he's also the author of Barack Obama and the Enemies Within. I didn't realize there were two separate books, but I'm assuming that that's correct. They're two separate books, Trevor?
Yeah. Oh,
okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. The first one was on Obama's ties to pro-Soviet communists and Marxists and terrorists, and that's 700 pages. And the second book is basically on the Marxist takeover of the Democratic Party, and it profiles 51 members of the House and 14 senators with identifiable ties to Marxist, communist, and anti-American groups.
So you basically...
And a lot of them from California, I have to say.
You've basically documented, to make this almost irrefutable, that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of... this book I'm looking at here is, you know, I don't know how many pages, but, I mean, it's you've got a lot of documentation on these guys that points in this direction.
Yeah, look, I've been going through, libraries all over the United States, Marxist libraries, etc., copying documents. You know, and I profile people there like Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi and George Miller and Mark Takano and Amy Berra from Sacramento, you know, who's regarded as a moderate, you know, and basically, you know, California, Karen Bass, Barbara Lee, Maxine Waters, the California delegation is shot full of Marxists.
Wow.
Absolutely shot full of them. And people can get the book, by the way, by going to pacificfreedomfoundation.org. Just Google Pacific Freedom Foundation. You can buy both my books online there.
pacificfreedomfoundation.org. Very good. Let's talk a little bit about the caucuses. In your book here, you mentioned the Congressional Progressive Caucuses, the Black Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus, the Asian Pacific American Caucus. How do these things fit into this whole scheme of things?
Well, they're basically the transmission belt from the communists into your Congress. The Congressional Progressive Caucus was set up by Democratic Socialists of America, and basically there's 80 members of it, and they take communist and socialist policy and introduce it as democratic policy onto the floor of your house.
Why the race?
That's what they do.
Why is everything about the race card with these people? I mean, how does that
further? Well, race is a huge weapon for them, you know, and they understand. You know, they couldn't have done what they've done with a white president. They've done a lot better with a black president because they can take a whole lot of issues off the table because Republicans don't want to attack a black president by appearing to be racist.
Because you'll get branded immediately in the mainstream. They'll just rip you up. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a cowardly thing. You know, people should just disregard the race. You know, I've got a problem with Obama's color. You know, the fact that he's a red, you know, that's the problem I have.
Yeah, red star. He's got a red star on his hat. That's a problem.
And a sickle.
Yeah, that's the color problem I have with Obama. And the Republicans need to grow up here and actually tackle the issues.
Right.
But the caucuses, like the Asia-Pacific caucus is also controlled by the left, as is the Black caucus. Like the Asia-Pacific caucus is led by Judy Chu out of Southern California. She's a long-time former supporter of the Communist Workers' Party, which is a hard-line Maoist outfit. She goes to China right now to build so-called business ties between China and Southern California. And over there, the Chinese press calls her China's representative in your Congress.
Wow.
You know, when she's over there, she talks about, I am coming home. And she still works with at least five former leaders of the Communist Workers' Party right now, right this instant. And she's one of the most powerful politicians in your Congress. She heads the Asia-Pacific Caucus. She's the leader of the Progressive Caucus. And she served on Obama's re-election committee. And she's basically China's best friend in your Congress.
Well, they're all going to go to school over there. I mean, Michelle was over there not too long ago, you know, enrolling the kids, getting ready to roll them. You can't make this stuff up. It's true.
Well, it's the world's worst totalitarian power right now. You know, would they be so proud of sending kids to Nazi Germany in 1938 and enrolling them in school over there?
Yeah, I know, and there's a and the, you know, a lot of people don't want to do those comparisons, but it's hard not to if you look. If facts mean anything, you've got to start looking at history. But that's part of this, you know, whole thing about they're going to have to change history to reflect a different viewpoint.
Exactly. Well, you know, communist China has millions of people in gulags right now. You know, and this isn't 40, 20, 30 years ago. This is right now. They have millions of people in gulags, torturing them and starving them to death, working them to death right now. And Obama and Michelle think it's great to build ties with China. You got a lot of California politicians doing the same thing. See, the thing is, you invite the Chinese in there, the Chinese government, you are inviting spies and corruption. Because, like, just a few years ago, the Canadian Intelligence Service, the Canadian SIS, issued a report saying that the Chinese government had bought control of, not influencing, control of the governments of British Columbia and Alberta, Canada's two richest provinces. They invite them in there, they invite Chinese businessmen into the province. They are controlled by the Chinese Communist Party and the People's Liberation Army. They get busy buying up politicians, corrupting politicians, and getting their own way. And that's exactly what's happening in California now. That's what's happening in Washington State and also in Oregon. But California is by far the worst.
Well, what do we do about this, Trevor? I mean, we've laid it out. We've shown everybody what's going on here, and if they have any backbone or American blood in them, they should go check this out and do their homework to make sure and verify it all. But what do we do now? Where are we at as far as solutions?
Well, you know, you have to change. You have to be serious about seizing political power for the right people. Now, you know, you had Reagan. You know, this country is now Carter on steroids. And that was turned around by electing Ronald Reagan. And Reagan was hated by the GOP old guard, just as the GOP old guard hates Ted Cruz and people like that now. But what happened in 1980, the grassroots got into the GOP, and they made sure that Ronald Reagan got that nomination. The same thing has to happen today. You have to get into that GOP because the Democrat Party is totally subverted now. The Republicans are divided between the patriots and the conservatives and the people who love America and the old guard who just want to make money and have everything go their way. You know, the John Boehners of the world and the Karl Rove, etc. So really, the battle for America now is a battle for who takes control of the Republican Party and getting decent patriotic candidates into the leadership, like the Ted Cruz's and the Rand Paul's and the Mike Lee's and the Jim Bridenstine's. That's what's going to decide the fate of America. And that's within the power of Americans to do.
Yeah.
So you can forget the Democrats right now. You've got to get into that GOP and turn it round into becoming a true conservative party again. And then you may have a hope of turning this around.
What do you think about Trey Gowdy, Trevor?
I think he's great. I think what I'm proposing, I want Ted Cruz to run, and I want him to name his cabinet early. And what I want him to do, because every element of his base, the Republican base is divided, you know, and Reagan was brilliant because he united the social conservatives, the defense conservatives, and the fiscal conservatives. So what I'm advocating is that Ted Cruz stands for president, goes to all these groups, and offers them something. I'd say the first thing he should do is put a man like Alan West on his VP ticket, go to the Libertarians and say, I want Rand Paul will be my Secretary of Treasury. He can do what he damn well wants to the Federal Reserve and the IRS. Then Sarah Palin, Secretary of Energy, drill, baby, drill, open up the energy fields across the country. Scott Walker, Secretary of Labor, right to work all over. John Bolton, Secretary of State. You know, tell your enemies where to go, rebuild your bridges with your friends. Ambassador to the United Nations, nobody. Then Dr. Ben Carson, Secretary of Health and Human Services, and Attorney General Trey Gowdy.
Wow.
You know, get in there, sort out all this voter, you know, the corruption in the Justice Department. But see, that's, you know, you imagine if a candidate ran with a team like that. you imagine how that would unite the Republican base?
Well,
everybody's getting something.
Very good.
Yeah, we're running out of time, Trevor.
We're out of time, Trevor.
We want to thank you so much for coming on, and we would love to have you back in the future and give us some more updates and your opinions on what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, look, my pleasure. I love your area, and I love the state of Jefferson, and I love coming on with you guys. So
very good.
In the future.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Trevor.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You were born an original. Bye-bye. Don't die a copy. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And this is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
It was across the nation. And he says everybody from Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki on down must do better.
The president will continue to demand that he and all of us who work for him continue to fix these things until they are functioning the way that our veterans believe they should, and the way that so that they get the services and the benefits that they have earned.
McDonough, a guest on CBS TV, some Republicans want Shinseki to resign. With the exception of one neighborhood in the San Diego suburb of San Marcos, all of the evacuation orders have now been lifted for areas affected by the wildfires that ripped through the region during the past several days. At least 10 fires covering 39 square miles chewed a destructive path through San Diego County ever since Tuesday.